from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I am blessed out of my socks to have him by my side through this process. Just especially when you reflect back to the first 2 years getting this thing off the ground. To have a guy like him, it's not a yes man that keeps me in line when I start getting off track. To keep our staff together when I get pulled in different directions. We wouldn't be where we are today if it wasn't for Ian as well, being there and being an unbelievable partner.
Not only is he not a yes man, he sounds like sometimes quite the opposite
yes.
of that.
It's important to have someone in your organization who is willing to say no and explain why to say no. And I think that's the role that Ian Cunningham is kind of forged. And that level of trust that he has with Ryan Poles, I think, is significant.
And I think you always need a healthy balance of the gutsy risk taker and someone who is able to make sure that you've thought of every downside before you do some of those visionary things.
And credit to Poles for liking the contrast, you know, appreciating that and considering him a peer, which you heard there illustrated really well in that soundbite that Studs just played.
I remember 2 years ago when he got hired, someone that I trust in NFL circles was like, he won't be here long. Like, they expected him to be a general manager the next year.
And he started interviewing the next year, didn't he?
Yep. So, you know, this is one of those guys that whose career you have to watch, and you do wonder, like, is there a suitable replacement for him if he does end up going through this? But them putting a floor in on where they were at and now rising to a place where a lot of people think that they're at least going to be a contender for the playoffs is significant. So Ian Cunningham talked with our Chris Emma. Emma did an unbelievable piece of writing it up on 670thescore.com. I suggest anyone who's a Bears fan check out the entire story. But we wanted to share a little bit of that interview with you so you can get to know what Ian Cunningham is about, what his role is. And this was him talking about how they got tested in their rebuild of what the Bears are.
It was a journey, right? We definitely have faith in one another and faith in the process. There's obviously going to be challenges along the way. There were challenges along the way, but really just felt strong about our process, knowing that we would get it right. And then I'm really happy with where we're at right now.
For two guys who, as you mentioned, known each other for a while, I mean, how did it test you guys? You know, the some of the struggles you guys had the first 2 years of this. How did you guys lean on each other, too, to kind of navigate through this?
Yeah, just support, you know, like how we grew up over the years, just in terms of, you know, being that support for one another, and whatever I could do to help him, whatever he could do to help me, he does. And that's just really what we just leaned into one another and helped us through those challenging times.
You've obviously been coveted GM candidate yourself. A couple of years ago, you got opportunity in Arizona and you ended up back here. How difficult was that decision to lead you back to this organization instead of taking that job?
Yeah, I think there's dream job of mine is to be a general manager one day. I don't think you ever envisioned making that decision, but ultimately it just wasn't the right fit. But again, I knew that we had unfinished business here, and again, had faith in what we were doing here, and knowing that the right opportunity will come, it's just a matter of time.
You've been out there, obviously, a lot. You've had a lot of interest, and you're going to continue to get that interest. How have you embraced that? You know, it's young scout coming up through this business, rising through multiple organizations, and now you're an in-demand candidate. Like, what's that like for you?
Yeah, it's just it's humbling because it's just, like I said, I've wanted to be that for a long time, as long as I could remember as being a general manager, and just continuing to grind and have faith and do things the right way, knowing that ultimately if you do things the right way, chances are you'll have some success. And then if you have success, chances are you'll have that opportunity. And so just want to continue to do things the right way and leave a place better than how I found it.
What will mean for you when that opportunity comes for you, when you do get the right fit, the job that you ultimately want to accept?
Yeah, it's it will be an accomplishment personally, just because I've set a goal for myself since I was in middle school to obtain something like that, and know that I was able to. It will be awesome. It will be an honor. But at the same time, knowing that that's not the end goal either, is continuing to grow and continue to help change an organization, and again, leave it better than how I found it.
You talked about that connection you and Ryan do have, but obviously you guys, I assume, challenge each other in a lot of ways. And I know the one example we knew was kind of like waiting through the picks to get to Rome. And Ryan talked about like he was eager to make that move. You were saying stay patient, trust the analytics, trust everything here. Yeah. How do you guys challenge each other in a lot of ways and make each other better in these spots?
You kind of know what questions to ask, when to ask them. You know, if you kind of feel like you're kind of going down this path, it's not to be a contrarian by any means. It's just trying to make sure that we've got all of our bases covered. And sometimes that's going to have you to be the dissenting opinion, just to try to challenge things. But even though you may agree with it, just to make sure that we're headed down the right path. And again, whatever I can do to help us and help him be successful, that's the main goal.
What's it like from your perspectives, seeing a young quarterback step in and have the city really embracing him? And obviously it seems like this whole organization is really embracing. But what's it like from your seat, having gone through everything, the pre-draft scouting, the difficult decisions along the way and getting to that point?
Yeah, it's just the city loves its people and loves its sports. That's what's been awesome about it. And then he's been handling it great, you know, for a guy to come in. It's never been too big for him. It wasn't too big for him in Norman. It wasn't too big for him in L.A. It's not too big for him in Chicago. And that's just a testament to him, how he was raised, and who he is as a person.
Good stuff from Ian Cunningham. I like the way he delineated the difference between being a contrarian for a contrarian's sake and when your job to be reasonable, what do you say, make sure all his bases are covered, sometimes that results in having a dissenting opinion, but it's not his goal to have a dissenting opinion.
Yeah, he doesn't have to take on that role if it's not necessary, but because of the way that they work together and what their process is, he feels comfortable when it's appropriate to be like, maybe we should look at doing this a different way, or maybe we should make a different choice.
Or let's consider maybe a couple of things you haven't considered as the ramification of a certain decision.
It's the equivalent to checking a blind spot.
Yep.
Like, that's how I see it, is if he has a different viewpoint, then you're controlling for bias, which is a wonderful thing when it works well. You know, I feel like that's when the best NFL teams are created, is when you have somebody checking you on those things and has a conflict of evaluation and a conflict of philosophy a little bit. I don't necessarily know that that's what's happening here. I don't think so. But just to have that balance is excellent. That's what you want. I think the more we delve into Ian Cunningham's process and the more we hear from him, even though Poles is so transparent, the better we'll understand the Bears and their viewpoint and their philosophy and how they evaluate moving forward. You know, just having a little piece of information, like we talk about the importance of relative athletic score, how they draft based on traits, all of those things come together to help us understand this team better, especially at a time where right now we're trying to figure out the roster.
I really hope that it works, because it seems like their process is so much better than what it was. The way that they've gone about rebuilding this, and that's not to say that there haven't been mistakes or things that are worthy of criticism, because there have been. But when you compare it to recent buildings of the Bears as a team. This seems so much like someone walked in with a real plan. It wasn't just bluster. It wasn't snowing the McCaskies to get the job. It's here's the plan that I have. This is how we can make all of this work. And then when circumstances turned in their favor, they took advantage of it. You know, the fact that Lovie Smith was able to help this franchise out, they were able to take advantage of all of that. And now you just hope that it is rewarded with there being actual team success.
Can I take a step back and ask what might sound like a silly question?
Yeah. Sure.
How close have we gotten to stated expectations from the Bears front office about this year's team?
Good question. I don't know that we necessarily have.
I think that we probably should be here. And I think that the statement that we've been holding them accountable for the last couple of days of this roster is going to be hard to make.
I mean bigger than that. Like when they have conversations.
Like playoffs and
yeah. Like when
win the division, yeah.
Or do they say.
They did say they were going to take the North and never give it back, but that hasn't happened yet.
And that was some grandiose day of taking the job kind of things. I mean, they're standing out there, the practice is over, and they're walking back shoulder to shoulder. And do they say, hey, man, we can win the damn Super Bowl this year. You know that. Or do they say, boy, it's going to take longer than I thought. Or, man, if we could just get to 500 this year, next year, watch out.
It would be really nice to see that on Hard Knocks.
But exactly. But that's the kind of thing where I would love to know, like, hey, as soon as we get this pass rush, as soon as we get a real-ass three technique, and as soon as we get somebody opposite Montez, like, we got to get on that. Because next year, once we fix that, watch out.
I will say this, though. After what we saw to begin last season, which I've said a lot this preseason, and the abject failure that was of not only evaluation of talent, but also where you thought you were in your preseason process, would you be saying anything? Like, I wouldn't.
No, I would try to wait
for game one and see what you have, because your process was incredibly flawed last year.
And football's weird, and there's high variance from season to season, no matter how good you think you are. But I would love to know. When they show up in the morning at 6 a.m. and they're pouring coffee together, are they thinking, yeah, we're today going to get a little step closer to this year's team winning a Super Bowl right now?
Well, shouldn't they be at that point this
year?
Yeah.
Did you guys feel like you saw it when we saw the glimpses of the draft room discussions and the reactions they had during the draft, especially in the first round? You could argue that you saw a little bit of that. Some on Hard Knocks recently in the last episode, but again, I feel like we got more from like Bears YouTube and Bears TV and stuff. Just like Eberflus saying, you know, just like we drew it up when he was talking to Roma Dunze, that type of thing.
Well, I look at it and say, this is what we gave all of the time that you needed for the clearing out of mistakes of the past, right?
Right.
And now, the biggest one of those things, the conclusion of that was making the determination that Justin Fields wasn't the guy and then drafting the guy that you think is the guy. So now I think that it's okay for Bears fans to be like, well, all right, we were patient. We saw what you were doing. Now should be an upswing. Like, it should feel competitive, at least.
It should, but the limiting factor is the reliance on a rookie who
100%.
Has never played a down of NFL football.
100%, Dan. Like, that's I think that's the part where it's hard for people to, and we'll go through this when we play Sean King back at 11 o'clock. I think it's hard for people to be filled with all of this joy and expectation and feeling like, man, things are changing for the Bears. Like, things are new. The Bears are on Hard Knocks. They've got this cool quarterback and this cool young wide receiver, and this is different than anything that we've ever seen. And then you have to, like, go, well, wait. The history of the NFL is telling you with sheer numbers
right.
about the success of not just rookie quarterbacks, but even number one overall quarterbacks and what that could look like in the first year. And so you have to allow for that to be the case and not be hurt. And even if it's bad early on, go, this is part of that process.
That's where I sit with it is what happens when you see a series like we saw how they opened up the game against the Bengals, where you go three straight three and outs to begin the first game. Are you freaking out? Or are you accepting the fact that you knew this was coming based on the fact that you have a rookie quarterback who's got to figure out the league? Like, what is your panic point? I think if they go three straight three and outs, there's going to be a lot of high stress, even though it relative to the rest of the season, it's not that big of a deal.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, and that's why I think that it's important that voices like Sean King are out there. So that the only thing that Bears fans have in their head, so they're not texting or calling us and being like, wait, I kept hearing words like generational talent. I kept hearing words like most ready to start. All of that stuff, I want Bears fans to also have the other side of it and what could happen here.
I love the fact that people got so mad and they forget that NFL teams are doing this to you every week. Their whole job is to mess him up every week. They're trying to figure out what his weaknesses are. The defense's entire goal this preseason was to try to mess him up. Montez Sweat took a lot of pleasure in that, I feel like,
this preseason.
And you saw that. So you tell me, who do you want to face? Somebody who's trying to help you out and make you better? Somebody who's pointing out things that you want to see fixed? Or do you want to help the team who's trying to beat you like the Packers did in week one last year?
That's right.
I just want to know.
Well, why don't we find out what the latest is on the Bears stadium situation?
Oh, you mean stadium?
Yeah. Not stadium swim.
No, stadium swim is alive and well.
Yeah, the latest on that situation is great success.
Great. Yeah. It looks like a golf simulation,
man.
We're
pretty distracted. It's difficult to happen.
I'm going to try to get a... The next time I can get someone teeing off, I'm going to try to get video and send it out to everyone via Twitter because it's amazing.
It really is glorious.
Well, Rory's on the
team
now
also
on four.
It is also on my Instagram story. Same name as my Twitter.
All right. Well, we'll hear from Kevin Warren about the stadium.
Stadium.
Next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I am blessed out of my socks to have him by my side through this process. Just especially when you reflect back to the first 2 years getting this thing off the ground. To have a guy like him, it's not a yes man that keeps me in line when I start getting off track. To keep our staff together when I get pulled in different directions. We wouldn't be where we are today if it wasn't for Ian as well, being there and being an unbelievable partner.
Not only is he not a yes man, he sounds like sometimes quite the opposite
yes.
of that.
It's important to have someone in your organization who is willing to say no and explain why. To say no. And I think that's the role that Ian Cunningham is kind of forged. And that level of trust that he has with Ryan Poles, I think, is significant.
And I think you always need a healthy balance of the gutsy risk taker and someone who is able to make sure that you've thought of every downside before you do some of those visionary things.
And credit to Poles for liking the contrast, you know, appreciating that and considering him a peer, which you heard there illustrated really well in that soundbite that Studs just played.
I remember 2 years ago when he got hired, someone that I trust in NFL circles was like, he won't be here long. Like, they expected him to be a general manager the next year.
And he started interviewing the next year, didn't he?
Yep. So, you know, this is one of those guys that whose career you have to watch. And you do wonder, like, is there a suitable replacement for him if he does end up going through this? But them putting a floor in on where they were at and now rising to a place where a lot of people think that they're at least going to be a contender for the playoffs is significant. So Ian Cunningham talked with our Chris Emma. Emma did an unbelievable piece of writing it up on 670thescore.com. I suggest anyone who's a Bears fan check out the entire story. But we wanted to share a little bit of that interview with you so you can get to know what Ian Cunningham is about, what his role is. And this was him talking about how they got tested in their rebuild of what the Bears are.
It was a journey, right? We definitely have faith in one another and faith in the process. There's obviously going to be challenges along the way. There were challenges along the way, but really just felt strong about our process, knowing that we would get it right. And then I'm really happy with where we're at right now.
For two guys who, as you mentioned, known each other for a while, I mean, how did it test you guys? You know, some of the struggles you guys had the first 2 years of this. How did you guys lean on each other, too, to kind of navigate through this?
Yeah, just support, you know, like how we grew up over the years, just in terms of, you know, being that support for one another, and whatever I could do to help him, whatever he could do to help me, he does. And that's just really what we just leaned into one another and helped us through those challenging times.
You've obviously been coveted GM candidate yourself. A couple of years ago, you got opportunity in Arizona and you ended up back here. How difficult was that decision to lead you back to this organization instead of taking that job?
Yeah, I think there's a dream job of mine is to be a general manager one day. I don't think you ever envisioned making that decision, but ultimately it just wasn't the right fit. But again, I knew that we had unfinished business here, and again, had faith in what we were doing here and knowing that the right opportunity will come. It's just a matter of time.
You've been out there, obviously, a lot. You've had a lot of interest, and you're going to continue to get that interest. How have you embraced that? You know, it's young scout coming up through this business, rising through multiple organizations, and now you're an in-demand candidate. Like, what's that like for you?
Yeah, it's just it's humbling because it's just, like I said, I've wanted to be that for a long time, as long as I could remember as being a general manager, and just continuing to grind and have faith and do things the right way, knowing that ultimately if you do things the right way, chances are you'll have some success. And then if you have success, chances are you'll have that opportunity. And so just want to continue to do things the right way and leave a place better than how I found it.
What will mean for you when that opportunity comes for you, when you do get the right fit, the job that you ultimately want to accept?
Yeah, it's it will be an accomplishment personally, just because I've set a goal for myself since I was in middle school to obtain something like that, and know that I was able to. It will be awesome. It will be an honor. But at the same time, knowing that that's not the end goal either, is continuing to grow and continue to help change an organization and, again, leave it better than how I found it.
You talked about that connection you and Ryan do have, but obviously you guys, I assume, challenge each other in a lot of ways. And I know the one example we knew was kind of like waiting through the picks to get to Rome. And Ryan talked about like he was eager to make that move. You were saying stay patient, trust the analytics, trust everything here. Yeah. How do you guys challenge each other in a lot of ways and make each other better in these spots?
You kind of know what questions to ask, when to ask them. You know, if you kind of feel like you're kind of going down this path, it's not to be a contrarian by any means. It's just trying to make sure that we've got all of our bases covered. And sometimes that's going to have you to be the dissenting opinion, just to try to challenge things. But even though you may agree with it, just to make sure that we're headed down the right path. And again, whatever I can do to help us and help him be successful, that's the main goal.
What's it like from your perspectives, seeing a young quarterback step in and have the city really embracing him? And obviously it seems like this whole organization is really embracing. But what's it like from your seat, having gone through everything, the pre-draft scouting, the difficult decisions along the way and getting to that point?
Yeah, it's just the city loves its people and loves its sports. That's what's been awesome about it. And then he's been handling it great, you know, for a guy to come in. It's not It's never been too big for him. It wasn't too big for him in Norman. It wasn't too big for him in L.A. It's not too big for him in Chicago. And that's just a testament to him, how he was raised, and who he is as a person.
Good stuff from Ian Cunningham. I like the way he delineated the difference between being a contrarian for a contrarian's sake and when your job to be reasonable, what do you say, make sure all his bases are covered, sometimes that results in having a dissenting opinion, but it's not his goal to have a dissenting opinion.
Yeah, he doesn't have to take on that role if it's not necessary, but because of the way that they work together and what their process is, he feels comfortable when it's appropriate to be like, eh, maybe we should look at doing this a different way, or maybe we should make a different choice.
Or let's consider maybe a couple things you haven't considered as the ramification of a certain decision.
It's the equivalent to checking a blind spot.
Yep.
Like, that's how I see it, is if he has a different viewpoint, then you're controlling for bias, which is a wonderful thing when it works well. You know, I feel like that's when the best NFL teams are created, is when you have somebody checking you on those things and has a conflict of evaluation and a conflict of philosophy a little bit. I don't necessarily know that that's what's happening here. I don't think so. But just to have that balance is excellent. That's what you want. I think the more we delve into Ian Cunningham's process and the more we hear from him, even though Poles is so transparent, the better we'll understand the Bears and their viewpoint and their philosophy and how they evaluate moving forward. You know, just having a little piece of information, like we talk about the importance of relative athletic score, how they draft based on traits, all of those things come together to help us understand this team better, especially at a time where right now we're trying to figure out the roster.
I really hope that it works, because it seems like their process is so much better
right
than what it was. The way that they've gone about rebuilding this, and that's not to say that there haven't been mistakes or things that are worthy of criticism, because there have been. But when you compare it to recent buildings of the Bears as a team, this seems so much like someone walked in with a real plan. It wasn't just bluster. It wasn't snowing the McCaskies to get the job. It's, here's the plan that I have. This is how we can make all of this work. And then when circumstances turned in their favor, they took advantage of it. You know, the fact that Lovie Smith was able to help this franchise out, they were able to take advantage of all of that. And now you just hope that it is rewarded with there being actual team success.
Can I take a step back and ask what might sound like a silly question?
Yeah. Sure.
How close have we gotten to stated expectations from the Bears front office about this year's team?
Good question. I don't know that we necessarily have.
I think that we probably should be here. And I think that the statement that we've been holding them accountable for the last couple of days of, this roster is going to be hard to make.
I mean, bigger than that. Like, when they have conversations,
like playoffs, and
when
the division, yeah.
Or do they say,
they did say they were going to take the North and never give it back, but that hasn't happened yet.
And that was some grandiose day of taking the job kind of things. I mean, they're standing out there, the practice is over, and they're walking back shoulder to shoulder. And do they say, hey man, we can win the damn Super Bowl this year, you know that? Or do they say, boy, it's going to take longer than I thought. Or, man, if we could just get to 500 this year, next year, watch out.
It would be really nice to see that on Hard Knocks.
But exactly. But that's the kind of thing where I would love to know, like, hey, as soon as we get this pass rush, as soon as we get a real ass three technique, and as soon as we get somebody opposite Montez, like, we got to get on that. Because next year, once we fix that, watch out.
I will say this, though. After what we saw to begin last season, which I've said a lot this preseason, and the abject failure that was of not only evaluation of talent, but also where you thought you were in your preseason process, would you be saying anything? Like, I wouldn't.
No, I would try to wait
for game one and see what you have, because your process was incredibly flawed last year.
And football's weird, and there's high variance from season to season, no matter how good you think you are. But I would love to know. When they show up in the morning at 6 a.m. and they're pouring coffee together, are they thinking, yeah, we're going to get a little step closer to this year's team winning a Super Bowl right now?
Well, shouldn't they be at that point this
yeah.
year?
Yeah.
Did you guys feel like you saw it when we saw the glimpses of the draft room discussions and the reactions they had during the draft, especially in the first round? You could argue that you saw a little bit of that, some on Hard Knocks recently in the last episode, but again, I feel like we got more from like Bears YouTube and Bears TV and stuff. Just like Eberflus saying, you know, just like we drew it up when he was talking to Roma Dunze, that type of thing.
Well, I look at it and say, this is what we gave all of the time that you needed for the clearing out of mistakes of the past, right?
Right.
And now the biggest one of those things, the conclusion of that was making the determination that Justin Fields wasn't the guy and then drafting the guy that you think is the guy. So now I think that it's okay for Bears fans to be like, well, all right, we were patient. We saw what you were doing. Now should be an upswing. Like, it should feel competitive at least.
It should, but the limiting factor is the reliance on a rookie who has 100%. never played a down of NFL football.
100%, Dan. Like, I think that's the part where it's hard for people to, and we'll go through this when we play Sean King back at 11 o'clock. I think it's hard for people to be filled with all of this joy and expectation and feeling like, man, things are changing for the Bears. Like, things are new. The Bears are on Hard Knocks. They've got this cool quarterback and this cool young wide receiver, and this is different than anything that we've ever seen. And then you have to, like, go, well, wait. The history of the NFL is telling you with sheer numbers
right.
about the success of not just rookie quarterbacks, but even number one overall quarterbacks and what that could look like in the first year. And so you have to allow for that to be the case and not be hurt. And even if it's bad early on, go, this is part of that process.
That's where I sit with it is what happens when you see a series like we saw how they opened up the game against the Bengals, where you go three straight three and outs to begin the first game. Are you freaking out? Or are you accepting the fact that you knew this was coming based on the fact that you have a rookie quarterback who's got to figure out the league? Like, what is your panic point? I think if they go three straight three and outs, there's going to be a lot of high stress, even though it relative to the rest of the season, it's not that big of a deal.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, and that's why I think that it's important that voices like Sean King are out there so that the only thing that Bears fans have in their head, so they're not texting or calling us and being like, wait, I kept hearing words like generational talent. I kept hearing words like most ready to start. All of that stuff, I want Bears fans to also have the other side of it and what could happen here.
I love the fact that people got so mad and they forget that NFL teams are doing this to you every week. Their whole job is to mess him up every week. They're trying to figure out what his weaknesses are. The defense's entire goal this preseason was to try to mess him up. Montez Sweat took a lot of pleasure in that, I feel like,
he
this
sure
preseason.
Did.
And you saw that. So you tell me, who do you want to face? Somebody who's trying to help you out and make you better? Somebody who's pointing out things that you want to see fixed? Or do you want to help the team who's trying to beat you like the Packers did in week one last year?
That's right.
I just want to know.
Well, why don't we find out what the latest is on the Bears stadium situation?
Oh, you mean stadium?
Yeah. Not stadium swim.
No, stadium swim is alive and well.
Yeah, the latest on that situation is great success.
Great.
Yeah.
It looks like a golf simulator,
we're
man.
We're pretty distracted. It's difficult to
I'm going to try to get a... The next time I can get someone teeing off, I'm going to try to get video and send it out to everyone via Twitter because it's amazing.
It really is glorious.
Well, Rory's on the
it
team
is also
now
on
four.
It is also on my Instagram story. Same name as my Twitter.
All right. Well, we'll hear from Kevin Warren about the stadium.
Stadium.
Next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.